welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road again today at Federal Premium Ammunition with the Commander's Task Force, and we'll meet many of the this year's new incoming state leaders during the course of the show. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Each year, more than 41,000 people die by suicide. September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, a time to share experiences and resources on this difficult and often stigmatized topic. In the Minnesota National Guard, preparedness is how we stand ready to help our soldiers and airmen when they are struggling. Be there to listen when someone tells you what's happening in their life. Let them know you're there and that you care about them. If someone tells you they are having suicidal thoughts, be prepared to stay with them and help them through it. If you are in crisis or experiencing difficult or suicidal thoughts, call the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255 or text NAMI to 741-741. Together, we can raise awareness and get help for those struggling with mental health and suicidal thoughts.
Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're on the road today at Federal Premium Ammunition, where we've been holding a meeting with the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the leaders of the organizations, including the American Legion, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans, Jewish War Veterans, Marine Corps League, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Paralyzed Veterans of Minnesota, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and Vietnam Veterans of Minnesota. Joining us now is the commander of the American Legion for the state of Minnesota, Daryl Redepenning, and the department adjutant of the Veterans of Foreign Wars for the state of Minnesota, Patrick Bomer. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Daryl, I want to start with you. Quite an eventful year coming up from you as department commander of the American Legion here in Minnesota. I understand you were in the United States Army in about 1970.
Yes, that's true.
And you have a special distinction this year because for the first time ever at the Department of Minnesota, you are the department commander and your father was department commander before you.
Yes, Dad was department commander in 1986-87, and he's still around. He's 91 years old. He took part in my installation, and it was a very emotional ride, but it's real special for both of us.
Did you and your father tag team him a little bit on the speech?
A little bit, yeah. But he didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know what he was going to say. But there wasn't a dry eye in the place when it got done. So it was very good.
So what are you looking forward to in your coming year as department commander of the American Legion?
Well, you know, we're celebrating our centennial. This is the beginning of our centennial year. It was a big event having our 100th convention here in Minneapolis that just concluded recently, and we're trying to build on that. Like most of the organizations, we have some real membership problems, and so we're trying to work on that. We're going to try not to leave any rock unturned when it comes to membership, and so that's one of the things we're going to concentrate on. And in that regard, we're working very hard with the younger veterans. We're trying to team with some of the colleges and get some of them on board. A lot of the younger veterans aren't aware that the GI Bill was actually written and pushed through Congress by the American Legion, and they're all kind of impressed by that when they find that out. So we're hoping we're planting some seeds with the younger veterans, and the other group that we're really concentrating on is women veterans. When I was in the Army, I was medical, so I served with a lot of women veterans, and I know from speaking with them that a lot of them don't feel welcome in the American Legion, and some of them don't feel welcome in the VA medical centers too. So we're trying to correct some of that. So our big goal this year is to turn our membership around.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and our guests today are the incoming commander, Daryl Redepenning of the American Legion, and the department adjutant for the Veterans of Foreign Wars Department of Minnesota, Pat Bomer. And Pat, I want to come to you. We had a first-time event in the American Legion where Daryl and his father were the first ever father-son that had been department commanders, and you've got a similar thing that happened on your side at the VFW.
Yes, we do. The commander this year is Thomas Hansen, and his father, Merlin Hansen, was also commander of the VFW. Like I was telling your host here, that when he was department commander, I told him, I says, someday I'm going to have your job. And he said, well, here it is, kid, come and get it. So 32 years ago, I was a state commander.
And it took you this long to become the adjutant. Oh, what happened?
Well, I didn't want to become the adjutant, but Tom is a very good friend of mine. We've been friends for 40 years, and he asked me if I would be his adjutant for him this year, and I says, yes, I would do it for you, but that's it. Then I got to kind of curtail my adjutanting.
Your volunteer activities.
Yes.
So you were drafted into this job for
well,
this year.
Well, I wasn't really drafted. Somebody else recommended to him that have Pat do it. He's been around a long time, and he's very knowledgeable.
Well, you know, Daryl, Commander Redfening, talked to us about the fact that the American Legion is looking for members, and you have the largest membership group of any of the Veteran Service organizations. But, Pat, the VFW, the eligibility is a little bit tighter.
Our eligibility is tighter than the American Legion is, and just like them, I remember when they were 100,000, I remember when we were 86,000. And today we have 40,000, and he's got 70,000. So it's the World War II veteran is, they say we're losing 5,000 of them a month.
And, of course, the Korean War veterans.
And the Korean War veteran are about the same.
And a lot of my buddies from Vietnam are leaving early due to Agent Orange and some other issues. So both organizations are looking for membership. Yeah. And talking about when I joined the VFW back in the 70s when I came back from Vietnam, they were talking, the World War II guys were talking then, how do we get the Vietnam veterans in? How do we, and today it's the Vietnam veterans that are of age and in those spots, and we're saying, how do we get the Gulf War veterans? How do we get today's veterans to join?
The post that I belong to is Uptown VFW, and all of our officers right now, except for our quartermaster, are all current conflict veterans.
So you've got the younger generation coming in?
I tell you, they want to make sure that the place, we're going to be celebrating our 100th year anniversary this year, and they just want to make sure that we're there for another 100 years.
Pat, we did a show from the state fair last week, and the theme this year was women veterans.
Right.
And we discovered that in the Minnesota National Guard, up to 25% of the soldiers and airmen that serve are women these days. When I was serving in Vietnam, there were some nurses, not too many numbers. But the commander mentioned that we need to find a way to make the VFW, the American Legion, the other veteran service organizations more women-friendly if we're going to attract those veterans to join.
Right. We had our post-meeting was Tuesday, and we had 7 female veterans that were at our meeting.
That's great. We That's a good 30, start, isn't it?
35 people there, and 7 of them were young ladies from the current conflict.
And Commander, do you have a plan to attract some of those women?
Well, similar to what he was saying, you know, we're trying to get them on board. We had a similar occurrence at my post at a recent meeting. We had 6 women veterans there, and I'm from the Anoka post, and we have one in line now to be commander, and that'll be our first female
very good
commander. So we're happy about that. We're certainly starting to see them all around. This year I have 2 district commanders that are women, and you know, we know about Peggy Moon and Denise Milton. They were both our department commanders here recently. So we're breaking the ice, and this past year now we had our first national commander, Denise Rohan, and a great lady, a great speaker, and really did the Legion proud. So they're starting to come in. So we're optimistic.
Commander and Mr. Adjutant, we're happy to have you both on the show today. We're going to look forward to seeing you both during the course of the year, and we can then talk about more of the activities of the American Legion and the VFW and all the great support work you do to take care of our veterans, our service members, and their families. And I'd like to thank you both for joining us today.
Yeah,
thank you for the opportunity.
This is Minnesota Military Radio on the road from the Commander's Task Force. Please stay with us. Next up, we're going to talk to the Marine Corps League and the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today at Federal Premium Ammunition with the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the leadership from the veteran service organizations here in Minnesota, including the American Legion, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans, Jewish War Veterans, Marine Corps League, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Paralyzed Veterans of Minnesota, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and, of course, the Vietnam Veterans of America. And joining me for this segment is the Commandant of the Marine Corps League, Doug Anderson, and the Commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Ryan Sabanish. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Morning.
Thank you.
Commandant, we're going to start with you. Most of these groups have a commander, except there's one over in the corner there that has a president. And then there's the Marines.
That's right.
Commandant.
Commandant, because that's what we call our head guy.
Can you tell us a little bit about your service in the Marines?
I enlisted in the Marine Corps in July of 1980, delayed entry till June of 1981. Went to San Diego for boot camp. Went to Memphis, Tennessee to learn how to be an aviation electrician. Was then assigned to F-4 Squadron, VMFP-3 out in El Toro, California in 1982. And deployed with them in 1983, October of 83, over to Iwakuni, Japan. And we were actually, my squadron was assigned to CAG 5, so the Carrier Air Group 5, the USS Midway, out of Yokosuka.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I was just out in San Diego a few weeks ago,
yep.
And the USS Midway is docked right downtown.
That is true.
And it's open for a tour, and I took it.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because when I go on, I get my little sticker as Midway veteran and get on, and they take me behind the ropes, as it were.
Well, I had a pretty good tour. It was a take-your-own-tour kind of thing, but
yep.
As a Vietnam veteran, they let me on, and I got around, and it was fascinating to see some of the aircraft from my era of Vietnam all the way through the time it was retired, I think, in the early 90s.
Yep. My squadron actually disbanded. We were RF-4Bs, so our RF-4Bs are a little different than an F-4. The frame is the same, except the nose is a little skinnier, and it was strictly reconnaissance aircraft.
Well, it was interesting that you were on that, and I was just touring it a few mm-hmm. weeks back. Now, you joined the Marine Corps League in October 2010, and you became the Commandant for the Department of Minnesota in April 2018.
Yes.
How'd you move up so quick?
Just did my job, just like any good Marine does. I do my job. People like me. Every position I've had, except for two of them, were actually appointed, but all the rest are elected. So I guess my membership has faith in me.
Let me see if I understand this. Marines have to like their commandant. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, but they don't like me sometimes.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. I want to direct myself to Commander Ryan Sabanish from the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Ryan, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me again.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background? And I understand that when you were in Iraq, you had a little problem and you earned a Purple Heart.
Yes, I was deployed in Iraq 2006 to 2007, about 16 months. And March 23rd, 2007, I was wounded. I was a 50 cal gunner in a Humvee and going down the road, and all of a sudden got hit, and I got hurt somewhat and took some shrapnels in my arm and severe blood loss and had to be medevaced.
Well, you look pretty sound today. They must have given you pretty good treatment. And how long were you hospitalized? How many series of repairs did you take?
Just one night overnight, and then they were going to send me back home. And during the surge of 2007, they needed everybody that they possibly could. So I stayed in Iraq, and I was just supposed to stay on base. But after a week or two, I got kind of bored and asked the doctor to put me back out on mission. So I didn't even have feeling in my fingers, and I was back up there gunning, so, yeah.
Well, I hope you didn't go off by accident then. That wouldn't have been a good thing. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been a member of the Military Order of the Purple Heart?
Since 2009, I believe, yeah.
And we asked you this the last time you were on, but who's eligible to become a member?
Anybody that has a Purple Heart. We also have membership for Gold Star family members, which is free in Minnesota. And then we have associate members like children, grandchildren, that can also be a member. So we're spreading and we're more open to who's allowed to be a member. Yeah.
And how many members in Minnesota and how many chapters?
There's 1,300 Purple Heart veterans in Minnesota, and then another of our 100 associate members. And there's 12 chapters in Minnesota throughout the state.
And I understand that the cost for joining is in your organization is a little different from most of the rest of these.
It is absolutely free for life for Purple Heart veterans or any of our Gold Star family members that live in Minnesota.
And so, are like the other organizations, are you looking for members?
We are always looking for members. You know, in the last year, we finally turned the table, and we're actually gaining more members than we're losing. And I know that's hard for a lot of veteran organizations, especially losing the World War II veterans. But we've turned the page, and we've started new things, and we're recruiting more than we're losing.
Very good. And I think you might be the youngest commander in the room.
I am.
And so maybe the VFW, American Legion, some of the rest can learn some things for you on how to increase membership.
Yeah.
And we talked about that earlier today, that the today's veterans and the women serving in the military are a lot greater numbers than they have in the past. So we have to deal with that, and we have to evolve, don't we?
Yep. There's, you kind of have to adjust to the younger veterans' schedule. You know, a lot of us, like myself, I have an 8-year-old and now 3-year-old. It's hard to... You can only do so much when you have a family, and there's kids nowadays are involved in a lot more stuff than they used to be.
Commandant, there's more women served in the Marines as well.
Yes, there are.
Do you have a lot of them that have joined the Marine Corps League?
We just had actually one last Tuesday that joined, and one of the unique things that I do, I think, is unique because I think I'm the only one in the league that does it in Minnesota, is I actually still work out with the poolies, as we call them, at the recruit centers. So this lady who just came, she actually had some serious problems happen after she got out of boot camp where she got in a car accident. So I have worked with her before as a poolie. And what I did is I finally got her back into the league, and she's gung-ho to get doing things with us. But
so, Commandant, I was in the Air Force. Can you explain poolie to me?
Okay, a poolie is somebody who is actually enlisted in the Corps, is under the lay entry program.
Okay.
So they're in the pool, as we call them, and we call them poolies. So that's how we refer to them. And they are actually kids. They're still in high school, a lot of them. And they're going through a whole year with us before we ship them off to boot camp.
So they're still eligible to join the Marine Corps League because they've raised their hand?
They're eligible once they get their EGA. So their Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, our symbol, once they have that in their hand, then they are officially Marines, then they can actually join our league.
So what is your eligibility for joining then beyond that?
Beyond that, it's anyone who has served in the Marine Corps, active duty, has earned their EGA. If you're an FMF corpsman, which would mean corpsman had served with Fleet Marines, if you had served with a Marine Corps unit for more than 90 days, or if you're an FMF chaplain, so a Fleet Marine Force chaplain, you're eligible to join us as a regular member. We also have associate members.
So those Navy corpsmen that followed you out in the field, they're absolutely eligible.
Docs are always eligible. We love our docs.
There you go. You got to take care of them.
Yep.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to look forward to having you both on the show during the course of the next year, and we can talk about some of the things you're doing in your communities, things you're doing for your members, things that make you unique as a veteran service organization. And, of course, we're going to follow the Commander's Task Force and talk about Vets Day on the Hills. We'll be coming up early next winter, early spring.
Right.
So, Ryan, any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, only thing that's really, if anybody's interested in becoming a member, go to our website at purpleheartmn.org. Thank you.
Purpleheartmn.org. And what's yours, Commandant?
It's mcleaguenational.org. That is our national website, and they can direct you to your local department.
So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to talking to you more this year, and we can talk about all the good things your organization are doing. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We're out at Federal Premium Ammunition with the Commander's Task Force, and we'll have two more commanders on in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today at Federal Premium Ammunition with the Commander's Task Force. In a moment, we're going to meet two more commanders from a commander from the Disabled American Veterans and the president of the Paralyzed Veterans of America Minnesota chapter. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
The Gold Star symbolizes the loss of a loved one while serving in the armed forces of the United States, whether it be in combat or duty other than combat. Gold Star families have given so much and continue to give back to the community through voluntary acts. In bearing the loss of a loved one, Gold Star mothers, fathers, spouses, and their families truly understand the cost of this country's security and freedom. The family members of our fallen have earned the utmost respect and undying gratitude of our nation and our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the president of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, Minnesota chapter, Ken Klein, and the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, Rick Jarvis. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
We're going to start with the commander. We're going to start with this president over here, if it's okay with you.
President's pretty high up.
He's pretty high up, and he's a handle, so we gotta see how he's going to behave today. Ken, welcome to back to the show. Glad to see you again, and I see you've got a contingent out here today.
We did. We brought the whole group over. They wanted to come over to the federal facility here and have a tour. And
so the PVA is here in force. There's four of those red shirts over there.
Yep.
And it looks like they're taking on all the rest of the commanders, and they're winning. I'm sorry, Ken. I shouldn't pick on you like that. Paralyzed Veterans of Minnesota, of America, Minnesota chapter. Tell us about it.
We are one of 33 chapters throughout the country. Our chapter specializes in catastrophically injured spinal cord injury veterans, along with MS and ALS. And we are about 350, give or take, members throughout the state of Minnesota.
And you've been, for the last few years, you've been one of the Veterans Service Organizations included in the Commander's Task Force.
Yeah, when I became president 6 years ago, I think we worked on trying to be involved with the CTF, and I think this is our fourth or fifth year.
And I think you'd be willing to say you've had a pretty good time doing that and interacting with Commissioner Shelato and all the folks at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, we do speak up, as you know. And I've got a couple of good guys that are obviously volunteering their time to make it happen.
You know, Ken, I've learned a couple of things in our discussions with you and Todd. And number one is that you live life to the fullest. And number two is we don't have to dodge around, you know, what happened and what caused you to be paralyzed.
Right.
You talk about it like normal people. That's a bad way to say it. But we tease each other more than the rest of the guys. And you live a full life, don't you?
Well, we do. I mean, you know, I just got back from Sioux Falls for a trap shoot event that me and five other guys attended and stuff. And shot trap all weekend, and we've got other things planned coming up. And, you know, we just do things a little different sitting in a wheelchair all the time. But we can trap shoot, we can bowl, we can fish, we can do a lot of things.
And there's a lot of organizations in Minnesota that help with that, including the Disabled American Veterans, who support a lot of the hunting events and the fishing events.
Right.
And for your members and any other disabled veterans, an opportunity to get out of the house, get out in the fresh air, go shoot, go fish, go hunt, whatever it is. That's pretty important, isn't it?
Well, you know, with DAV and American Legion and the VFW, we all sponsor events up at Camp Ripley three times a year with the turkey hunt, the trolling for the troops, and now upcoming the deer hunt and stuff. We send members up there to every one of those events.
Commander Jarvis, that's one of the big issues. One of the big things that the DAV of Minnesota does is try to make sure your members and the PVA members and everybody else get out of the house and get out in some fresh air.
Yes, we do. Just recently, we had a nice fishing trip up at Williams Narrows. Had 20 veterans up there for 3 days of fishing. It's beautiful weather and a very successful fishing trip.
And, Commander, we've talked before, one of the other big events or the big projects that you work on year after year is raising money so that you can supply vans to get our veterans back and forth to their medical appointments.
Yep, that's right, Tom. We're adding two more vans. We're going to be up to 32 vans pretty soon and opening up another corridor for picking veterans up.
32 vans supplied all over the state. Those things aren't cheap.
I know. That's phenomenal. That's a program that is helping so many veterans. It's just unbelievable.
And by the way, all those rides are free, and all the drivers are volunteers. Nobody's paid.
Let's get to that volunteer driver for a minute. I didn't realize this till a few years back, but you supply the vans, and you work with the county veteran service officers, but all of those drivers, they don't have to be veterans. They can be anybody with a clean record and a driver's license. They're volunteers.
Yes, they are.
And they put in a lot of miles and a lot of hours.
Yes, they do. They could put in as many hours as they choose or as few hours as they choose. There's not a set schedule for them.
So if we've got a listener out in St. Cloud or somebody up in Brainerd or somewhere else that wants to spend, say, a day a week or a day every other week and drive a van down to St. Cloud or over to the Minneapolis VA, how do they go about signing up?
Well, they'd go to, you can sign up on the website.
Which is davmn.org.
Yes.
All the information is there.
Yes, it is.
So if you're a good driver, you got a valid driver's license, no issues, then just go to that website and find out and tell them what you're thinking you want to do, because you've got room for them, don't you?
We'd love to have them. There's always room for more.
And where are you shooting for this year? You're putting a couple of new vans in different parts of the state this year?
Yes, we're going down in the southwest. We're trying to get into now. And Rochester area.
Okay, so in both of those areas, you're going to be looking for drivers. But in the other areas, up in the Iron Range and up by Duluth and there, you're still looking for drivers all over Minnesota?
We're always looking for drivers. It's a non-ending process.
Ken, you're sitting over there shaking your head. DAV's been at this for years. They've done a pretty good job of it, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, you see their vans all the time. I mean, they're out there. I have a personal friend that drives for the DA and stuff, and he does it two or three times a week, and he's a retired Army guy, and he absolutely loves it.
And every time I go out to the VA Medical Center for an appointment, I see a DAV van coming in and out, probably a driver pushing somebody to their appointment and helping them out. Yeah. So it's a great program. Ken, I just want to talk to you. You've been a member of the Commander's Task Force for a few years. We just talked about the fact that you and the DAV and all the rest of the organization support and all the rest of it. But by being able to get together once a month, all the leadership of these 9 veteran service organizations, you got an opportunity to compare notes and you got an opportunity to cooperate.
We talk back and forth all the time and stuff. We learn a little bit more about the DAV or by one of the other organizations and stuff, and we can bring it back to our people. It's a great camaraderie group of organizations.
And the other benefit we have is you've got your membership at DAV. We've got the members at the PVA, American Legion, all the rest of them. When we go up on the Hill for Vets Day on the Hill, which is coming up after the first of the year, you combine that membership of all those organizations, and when you're up there speaking to the legislatures, you're representing a lot of people.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yes, one common goal.
Yep.
The organizations, you work together, strength by numbers.
Commander, I've heard for years that we stand on the shoulders of those that came before us. But when we take a look at the legislature and the Congress, World War II veterans did their job, the Korean veterans did their job, the Vietnam veterans are here. But we have a duty to make sure that things are right for future generations, too.
Yes, we fulfill our promises to those who serve. And that's what the DAV stands for.
Commander, thanks for joining us today. And Ken?
Thank you, Tom.
Did I behave?
Yeah, well, you're pretty good. You got about 20 seconds left. I was going to ask you if you had any final thoughts. There's probably some paralyzed veterans out there that don't belong to your organization yet.
There probably are. And if there are any, they can contact us at the mnpva.org. And we can set them up and get them into the program.
And one of the fun things is I've learned from your newsletter, since I'm an associate member lately, that there's events all over the place.
Right.
And you get the guys out, and it's got to be great for them.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're getting our newsletter.
I'm reading it. I get it. Ask my wife. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll be back in a moment with our fourth segment and 2 more special guests. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been on the road today at Federal Premium Ammunition on the occasion of the Commander's Task Force meeting, the first meeting of the year for a lot of the new commanders. And we've had the honor to be out here in the lodge or the clubhouse at Federal Premium Ammunition. And in a little while, those commanders are going to go on a little tour to see how ammunition is made here. And they might even get an opportunity to go down the range and shoot some weapons. We've got two very special guests on the show right now, Ryan Bronson, who's Director of Conservation and Public Policy. And we have the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, I almost messed up your introduction there, and I never do.
Well, that's okay. I forgive you. I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on right now, Tom.
Well, these commanders have been messing with me all day, and they got me a little shook up, but that's all right. But, Ryan, we wanted to get you on, and it's really a pleasure to be able to come out here each year and enjoy this clubhouse. It's a beautiful place. You got chandeliers with shot shells for your lighting. You've got all kinds of animal heads in here. What an incredible place.
Well, this is a unique space, and it's been here since the 1950s. But our factory's been here in Anoka since 1922. And we are very proud of our connection with the military and the military families network. But our history is one of largely commercial markets where we make ammo primarily for hunters and target shooters. But during World War II, we managed and operated the Army ammunition plant over in Arden Hills as well. So we had a really strong connection there. And then obviously some of the products we're making are for the military today. But the vast majority of our market is for the civilian, commercial, and law enforcement markets here in Anoka, where we employ over 1,000 people. And the big thing that I want folks to know is that the ammo market is increasing after a couple of hard years, and we are hiring. And so we're looking for employees to help us build ammunition here in Anoka, get paid a very good wage. And as many veterans that we can recruit, we want to recruit more. We've got a couple hundred, but I believe 250 is about the number we're at right now of our workforce of 1,000 are veterans, and so we're proud of that number. But it's an easy decision for us because veterans are such an effective, well-trained workforce coming in.
Show up every day, show up on time, and give you a good day's work.
Absolutely. That's all we ask for.
Sounds like a really good soldier or airman right there.
Is this a recruiting commercial for Federal Premium and for the Minnesota National Guard? Ryan, I understand you're second generation out here.
I am. My dad worked in this factory for 40 years. He built 22 long rifle shells and shot shell primers on the line for 40 years, and it was a company that paid a wage where my dad was able to help me get through college. I've got my degree in wildlife biology. I worked around Minnesota in different realms at the state legislature and with the DNR. And when I was able to come here and take over the conservation and public policy program at Federal, it was like coming home because this is a family company. There's a lot of second and third generation folks here. Growing up in the North Metro area, everyone knows somebody that works at Federal.
And you're interested in hiring veterans. You're firing now.
We're hiring now, and you can find about the job opportunities on our corporate parent site at vistaoutdoor.com. Vistaoutdoor.com.
Very good, Ryan. We'd like to thank you on behalf of the Commander's Task Force today for allowing us to use the clubhouse, and we're going to have a little lunch and take a tour. And we want to thank you for supporting Minnesota Military Radio for the last, about 7 or 8 years. And also, I serve on the board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and you've helped us with our fundraising events that are so important because we use the proceeds of those to help Minnesota military families in times of emergency, family emergencies, so that we can take care of those things while our troops are deployed so that they can concentrate on the mission. And Sergeant Major, that's pretty important. You've got a large group of soldiers going to be deploying soon. And I'm sure as a member of the board of the MMFF, we're going to see some grant requests coming through. And we're going to approve those as fast as we can so that we take care of those problems so that your soldiers can stay on mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you mentioning that. Again, I know we've been talking about the deployments coming up, and you know, you and I were talking before the show started that even rolling into calendar year 19, the Minnesota National Guard is going to have 1,500 or so soldiers and airmen deployed, and the deployments are still on the horizon. And, of course, the big one right now coming up is our 34th Infantry Division, Red Bull Division, deploying their ceremonies on the 20th of September. And, of course, about 650 or more soldiers going to the Central Command Area of Operations. And, you know, it's just going to be a great event down there. And we really want to appreciate and thank our community partners down there in St. Paul and, of course, the Serving Our Troops organization. As you know, they've done great work for us. And, you know, they're going to be serving over 4,000 meals, those fantastic steaks, to our soldiers, our family members, and our friends of our deploying Red Bull soldiers.
And, Sergeant Major, the folks at Serving Our Troops are still looking for some volunteers to help with that on September 20th. It's going to be over in St. Paul. And we're going to have the Red Bull soldiers there and their families and a lot of other folks in there. So if any of our listeners want to help, just go online and look up Serving Our Troops here in Minnesota, and all the information is there to help them volunteer. Now, you said shortly we've got 600 or 700 soldiers deploying from our Red Bulls. And is everybody ready, sir? Are they in good shape?
Well, I can... let you know, and of course the listening audience know, and all of our citizens in the great state of Minnesota know, that we will make sure, we have made sure, that our soldiers are 100% prepared and ready to take on the mission that they're about to undergo. So there should be no worries about whether or not they can accomplish their mission. They're prepared. And of course they'll spend a little bit of time at a pre-mob station, and then they'll head overseas and get rolling.
And here in Minnesota, we're fortunate. We've got all the Yellow Ribbon networks, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and many other organizations that are standing by to make sure that their family are taken care of while they're gone so that they can stay on mission.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I should mention this because, you know, the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bull soldiers, that's the big one going out. And I'm actually going to be attending a smaller deployment ceremony that's going on this weekend as well. For our 147th Human Resource Company, sending our second team on their deployment. And so, you know, like I said before, we've got soldiers, we've got airmen deploying all the time, and we're prepared and we're ready to do whatever we're asked to do.
Sergeant Major, it seems like the deployment cycle is picking up again. You've got a lot of soldiers and airmen out, and I think you've been alerted for another deployment next fall of 2019. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is a lot going on. You know, and like I said, we will always make sure that we're ready to answer the call, whether it's in our local community for local natural disasters, whatever it happens to be, or on the federal level. And that's what we're here for. We are a part of the military, and our mission is to make sure we're here to protect and serve and defend our Constitution and all of our citizens.
Sergeant Major, you've been with us on the radio quite a bit, and you've seen and met a lot of our guests, a lot of the organizations that support the troops and their families here in Minnesota. And I know you've been out and are aware of some of the fundraising events that we put on, but we've got a lot of good corporate sponsors, just like Federal Premium Ammunition, that step up way above and beyond the call of duty.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And, you know, we just can't thank our corporate partners enough for all of the support, the continued support. And you know what? It goes a long ways, and we need that continued support to continue helping our soldiers, our airmen, and their families. And of course, we have to make sure we recognize employers, too, and thank them for their continued support for all of our service members.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us again today.
Absolutely, Tom. Thank you so much.
Ryan, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about Federal Premium? And thank you again.
Well, we're coming up to hunting season. Everyone's got to get ready for it. If you stop at the store and you buy that red, white, and blue box of shells with the red, white, and blue ribbon, you're helping support veterans as well with our product there. So,
well, we appreciate all your support, and please tell the rest of the folks at Federal Premium, keep up the great work.
We will.
That was the Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, and Ryan Bronson, Director of Conservation and Public Policy here at Federal Premium Ammunition. We have one mention today. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Healthcare Division has an opening in the Central Pharmacy. This is a great opportunity for a pharmacist looking to serve Minnesota's heroes as the Pharmacy Director of Operations. For more information about this career opportunity, visit the State of Minnesota Careers website at mn.gov/mmb/careers. We're just out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Daryl Redpenning, American Legion, Doug Anderson, the Marine Corps League, Ryan Sabanish from the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Rick Jarvis from the DAV, Ken Klein from Minnesota's Paralyzed Veterans of Minnesota, and Ryan Bronson, Director of Conservation and Public Policy. And we can't forget our Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Also, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week for a special interview with the Honorable Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.